with Peter Lynham.
Hello.
Yes, indeed. How are we going today?
Good. Now we're talking Sanitarium and the Seventh Day Adventists.
We are the religion of cornflakes.
I mean,
I'm so glad you said that.
They're basically just a business, right?
So, Sanitarium is the business arm of the Seventh Day Adventist Church, but it's not just a business arm. It lies at the very heart of one aspect of Adventist belief, which is that the body is a kind of a healthy construct that needs to be kept pure. And by governing the external circumstances of your body, you will enable a greater purity of mind and spirit.
What about the internal circumstances as well, as in what I eat?
Well, they tend to me to be the bigger problem, but but and I don't suppose Sanitarium ignores those. But it came about in the 19th century. There was a lot of discussion about what was called heavy food, and that the reason why people's minds were not clear was that they were bogged up with, you know, heavy food. A bit like today we talk about fattening food, you know. And so that was a big, big thing of a lot of groups. And so it's quite intriguing that the Mormons and the Seventh Adventists have much the same approach to the need to purify food and to sort out your diet, so that both groups reject coffee and tea, for example.
But Cocoa Pops are fine?
Well, that's the interesting thing. The hot drinks were seen as bad. The cold drinks were not. It does seem a little paradoxical, I know.
Are you going for the angle that Cocoa Pops are actually like a chocolate milkshake, only crunchy?
Well, maybe so. So let me try and express it another way. I think I'm going to have to, because there's a long, interesting introduction to the story.
Okay.
And that comes about the expectation of the end of the world on the 22nd of October, 1844. Now, you and I weren't around at that stage.
Did it end or not? Do we know?
It didn't. I don't believe so. I think that's probably why we're still here. And
I think it can restart. That's what the thing about endings is, it means that a start can happen again. So.
Yes. Well, and that was the story about the Seventh-day Adventists, because they wanted to know why the world hadn't ended on the 22nd of October. A lot of people had done calculations from Bible prophecies and worked out with mathematical formulas that the world would end on that date. And it was said that people went to the top of hills and waited for the return of Christ, which didn't happen, and were very disappointed. And the Seventh-day Adventists were the group who, in 1863, came up with the formula. They'd been thinking about it for a while, 15 years. They came up with the formula that was the failure to keep the Old Testament law, particularly the law of the Sabbath, but also dietary laws as well, that were the reason that the Lord had delayed his coming, because the church was not pure. So out of that came the formation of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and a very influential woman in that story was Ellen White and her husband, and she informally led the movement, never formally, because men technically were in charge. And she came to Australia and New Zealand and helped to plant the movement here in New Zealand. In fact, I think their first camp meetings were right here where I'm talking to you from, in Grey Lynn. So Kellogg was one of the branches of the movement, and at Battle Creek in Illinois.
That's crazy.
Battle Creek in Illinois.
You mean the Kellogg, as in Kellogg's?
Yeah, that's right.
This is awesome, this story.
He set up a sanatorium so that people might purge their bodies and find true spiritual life. And that's where he alighted on the fact that perhaps feeding them light breakfasts would help in the story. So Kellogg began the breakfast movement as an Adventist. Then he got expelled from the church. And then since then, Sanitarium and Kellogg's have gone their separate ways.
Okay, here we go.
Kellogg's are a lot more fun because someone's just come in and said, Cocoa Pops or Kellogg's. So just
they did begin from the same place.
Oh, yes, very definitely.
I don't really... I feel bad because I've kind of tapped out of morning cereal. I haven't had a morning cereal in... I don't even know how many Weet-Bix I can do at this point, Peter Liner. So.
Yes, you don't... Yes, I mean, today you probably don't know or have really thought about the virtues of Weet-Bix. But
sometimes,
you will find, sometimes there's a big campaign for that.
Sometimes I'll have some Marmite, and sometimes I will look at the vending machine at the train station and think, yeah, I could probably have an up and go, but I won't. But I think about it. And maybe that's what they want.
It's interesting that the first food that they produced was actually granola, which seems to me a lot more acceptable than Weet-Bix these days, which I find...
All the prices of their cereals are about the same, which is kind of buzzy.
Yeah, that's right.
Peter Lynam, what sort of stuff does Sanitarium actually get involved with in the community outside of manufacturing breakfast cereals?
So the Adventist Church, see, the profits of Sanitarium are fed back to the Adventist Church. And from the Adventist Church, they have a health division of the church that runs stop smoking programs and, you know, a range of virtuous and good things which others offer as well. But that is quite an important justification that you'll find for Sanitarium saying that's why we have a tax exemption, because Sanitarium never pays any tax.
Well, it's funny.
On a reasonably profitable enterprise, and of course Kellogg's pay tax.
Oh,
so
man.
A certain amount of resentment in Kellogg's.
They've gone the Scientology route. We just had a hot text in here, Peter, saying, did 3 years working for Sanitarium. The whole thing is a scam. AUNZ combined are $2+ million business. Their church is run by a board of directors, not even a bishop or something. There you go. That's a hot take from a texter.
Okay, and I think it's certainly true that the commercial running of Sanitarium is reasonably hard-nosed. But it's been proven a long time ago that if you run a charitable organisation that's run on to raise money for the charity, you're actually in a really difficult situation, because if you're too hard-nosed, you get a lot of criticism.
Right.
And if you're too soft, you'll end up by not giving any money to the organisation you set up to support.
What's stopping Amazon from going church? Or something like that, and just going, oh, you don't have to pay tax on anything, you know?
Well, because then they couldn't pay huge profits to the shareholders. You see, there are no shareholders.
Okay.
So it's registered under the Incorporated Societies Act instead of under the Companies Act. And although it has to follow the same rules in its shareholders and having a board of trustees, etc., they don't have to either pay profits or go through some of the complications of what shareholders have to be paid each year.
We're getting a lot of texts about this. It goes to show you that people are obviously got their opinions or don't know much and want to know.
There are very strong debates because of what seems like an unequal playing field.
Right.
And it's true that, I mean, Sanitarium is one of the most prominent cases. But actually, if you look carefully, there will be a lot of cases of this. I was once in a funny situation of being asked by a church whether they thought they should buy the funeral home next door and run it to raise money to keep the church going. And I myself thought it was a dodgy idea because, you know, making money from funerals, as I think people do in large measure, but if they're associated with one church, might put off all their... They might find they have fewer clients rather than more.
So, Peter, but on the whole, would you be prepared to make a call on whether Sanitarium is a good member of the community as a business?
Ah, the classic. Are they a goodie or are they a baddie?
Well, so if you look at the overall operation of the Adventist Church... And especially if you go to Melanesia, where there's enormous numbers of Adventists, or if you go to South Auckland, I drove past their Papatoetoe church and school and realised this is a big operation. And when I lived in Palmerston North, Longburn, the Longburn College and at those at that time there was, I think, wheat bix being made in Palmerston North. I mean, they were big operations that weren't just in health support, but were doing a lot of other virtuous and good things. Mm. And so I'd say if we've got a law that allows the operation of churches to run, well, if you can have a charity that runs for profit to support another charity, then sanitarium's legitimate. There's quite a good case for dropping that, the possibility of having profit-making charities to support another charity. But the advantage is it keeps it clean from the church itself, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's weighed. You can look at it both ways. Personally, I'm in favour of letting it keep going.
Okay. There we go. All right, Peter Lynham, thank you very much for another enlightening edition of That's the Spirit. Shall we talk about the Unitarians next week?
Let's go for the Unitarians next week. That will be very interesting.
Brilliant. Thank you, mate.
Very good.